Industry 4.0, Tom, honestly, nobody, doesn't matter who you are, how big, how small, you can't do it on your own. You need to partner.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Raftery. Hi everyone, welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and we are in one of the themed shows today talking about Industry 4.0. Before we start, a couple of quick announcements. The first is, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I do have a new sound setup, so hopefully the sound quality of these podcasts is improving. I've had a few glitches, so I'm working on it. Bear with me. The second thing to say is we have a new section of the podcast. I won't be having it today because I don't have a comment to add in, but it's a comments and questions section to the podcast. So if you do have any comments or questions that you would like asked, send them to me in an audio file, preferably, or by text, if not, to tom.raftery@sap.com. So now, without further ado, on with the show. And today's special guest is Niels. Niels, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, Tom, and very good day to everybody, wherever you are. My name is Niels Herzberg, pronounce it any which way you want. I'm also from SAP, good friend of Tom's. At SAP, my role is that I'm responsible for the strategic partnerships that we do in the space of digital supply chain, which obviously also includes the topic of Industry 4.0. Joined SAP 24 years ago, so a veteran of SAP.
Fantastic. Thanks, Niels. And I mean, you talk about partnerships, Niels. Several people who we've had on the show on the Industry 4.0 particularly talk about the importance of ecosystems and partnerships, that no one organization can do this by themselves. So do you want to talk about, well, first of all, tell me a little bit about what you think Industry 4.0 is, and then can you tell me a little bit about why you think partnerships are important?
Let me start with the first question. What is Industry 4.0? I think it is an absolute necessity that this concept, this idea is embraced. The core of this concept is really that how do we drive productivity in manufacturing on a worldwide basis? And that means that we have to drive automation, but not only automation of the factory itself, but automation of all the business processes that's around the factory. That is the inbound logistics, the outbound logistics, the planning, and also the collaboration between enterprises. If you really step back, it is that we create these end-to-end processes that don't have any media breaks where humans are trying to interfere and insert errors. I think the future is very much data-driven, and therefore we cannot afford all of these media breaks and errors in the system. And that is a big part of what we're trying to do with Industry 4.0. If we think through evolution, Tom, your father, my father, in that time, they might have been a machine operator, and the machine was mechanical. Mm-hmm. Then a lot of evolution, innovation came, and the machine operator would start programming the module standing next to the machine, and the machine would then actually do as the software told. But we are actually getting into a time where the software will tell the software in the machine what to do, and the human will stand on the side and look at his iPad and say, well, this machine is doing exactly as it should be. So the human is becoming more and more of an observer in these processes. And that is also a necessity because in countries like Japan or Germany or elsewhere, the number of folks in the workforce is coming down radically. And if we want, I'm sitting here in Germany, we want a positive gross domestic product. That means the productivity per employee in the workforce needs to go up radically. And Industry 4.0 is a way to go.
Okay. And the second part of the question about partnerships, the importance of those?
Yeah. I think you also highlighted that, at least initially. This is a very, very comprehensive topic, very broad, very wide, very deep. And it doesn't matter who you are, you cannot do this on your own. You don't have enough expertise, you don't have enough money to solve this all by yourself. And that is the core of why we need, why SAP needs partnerships in this space. We, SAP, know what we are good at, but we also very much recognize that that is not enough. There are complementary skills that we desperately need. SAP, and you know SAP well, we are very good with our solutions on determining what needs to get done. But we are not necessarily always the ones that say exactly how it should be done. And we are not the experts on better gluing, better welding, better metal bending. That is not the core of why the phone is ringing for SAP. So we need to actually partner up with the person whose phone is ringing because of that, so that together we can get that end-to-end process going.
What kind of partnerships are we talking about? What kind of organizations? I mean, it's not welders per se. What kind of partnerships are we talking?
Yeah. What is special, Tom, about the ecosystem for Industry 4.0 now is it is not the typical one. Typically, we would have the system integrator, the Accentures as well, who play an important role, but that is enough. But that is not sufficient. We have partnerships ongoing in the area of some of the consortia. We have partnerships going on with some application providers. We have content provider partnerships. We have partnerships with the manufacturers, the makers of control systems. We also partner, and this is one of those interesting ones, with our own customers who make machines. Your partnership with, a company like KUKA. So how do we make that end-to-end process, the pay-per-use process of that robot standing in the factory right through to KUKA? How do we make that work? So we partner with our customers. And last but not least, Industry 4.0 is also a lot about data, about big data, about lots of data. So, yes, we are partnering with those who provide those huge data lakes to our customers and those platforms to our customers on which all of this data is going to be crunched. So very different set of partnerships, something very different to what my colleagues in finance would be partnering with. We have a special set here.
Does that present more opportunities or more challenges, or how does all that work?
I think initially it is a bit of a challenge because I think everybody has their own ambition and their own strategy of how they want to create customer value. And what we discover is that everybody seems to be spending, investing huge amount, and I'm going to use the analogy, huge amount to provide plumbing. But plumbing itself is not differentiating. Value is differentiating, that is built on top of the plumbing. But you don't really care whether you have 1-inch piping or 3/4-inch piping in your house where you're sitting right now. That is really doesn't matter. So we have to come, and this is where standards, we have to come to a common way of doing things. And that's also part of what we do in ecosystems, trying to come towards a common way of doing things so that everybody can, and the customers, the owner, in other words, the operators of factories, of plants, of warehouses, they can focus on value and not on plumbing, because the plumbing is there and is being used by everybody. Just to give you the case in point, this is why the Open Industry 4.0 Alliance was actually incubated as a Swiss society, which at the moment I think has 55 members already, that is trying to work on guidelines how things should be implemented. It's not about standards. Standards we have a lot.
Okay.
But really the question of how do we implement them all in a common way? That is important. You and I, yes, you're in the book rack that is not behind me. There's the dictionary of English. That is the reason why you and I speak. However, it doesn't actually help. A dictionary per se doesn't help you with speaking a coherent sentence. That is something more, and that is what needs to be done. And this is where you need the ecosystem, and this is where you need lots of companies, hardware companies, sensor companies, software companies, system integrators, to come to a common way of doing these things so that we can, speak English, industry speak, factory speak, that we speak one factory speak and not everybody has their own interpretation, which is accents or completely different languages that are being implemented. There's no value in that. So that's why we need the ecosystem piece and the multilateral partnership piece.
Okay, and is this something that is regionally defined? Is it like European or is it North American or is it global? And is it a particular sector of industry as well? Is it just manufacturing or is it broader than that?
It is not as global as we would like it to be. And obviously, we are driving towards more of a global. If you look at the really successful work, you see it. If you look at the laptop that you're seeing, the USB standard, that is something that really went and solved a lot of issues. The Bluetooth standard, this is the kind of stuff and global adoption that would be really, really nice, I think, for everybody, especially for the customers who want to extract the value that comes from plug and play, from intelligent plug and play, where hardware and software, if you put them together, they talk to each other and they know who they are. That is the kind of stuff. As I said, it is not as global as we would like it to be, but I do see more of a globalization also because many of the companies that operate in this space are global companies, and they wish to export into markets, and then they wish to export from their own market, and they cannot afford, and they do not wish to have a standard for this country, that country, and the next country. But so they have an interest in doing that as well. Also, some of the customers that SAP has, they're also global companies, and they don't have really a lot of time to implement something completely different in their North American theater than from their European theater than from their Asian theater.
Bit like having cars that are left-hand drive and right-hand drive and car manufacturers having to manufacture cars for the different markets.
Yes. Yes. With orange blinkers or red ones, depending on which market you're exporting to.
Correct. What's the timeline, do you think, for achieving this kind of global standardization around Industry 4.0, or is that just a completely ridiculous question?
No, it's not a ridiculous question. It's I think it is a journey. It's a marathon that that needs to be run. There are a lot of standards already there. I think that standards like those that are being created by the OPC Foundation are will have an important role to play in this context. But it is actually going to be an ongoing journey, Tom. This is going to be a never-ending story because machines will have more capabilities. Customers will have better ideas. Technology will bring further opportunities. So this will actually evolve over time. There are good standards. I think in industry, in the factory, what one of the major challenges is, Tom, is the brownfield challenge. In other words, that machine that you bought 30 years ago, It doesn't know how to spell IoT. It doesn't know how to spell Industry 4.0. It actually is unable to spell anything. It doesn't know its own serial number. It knows nothing. But this is the brownfield challenge is a reality, and this is why things may be perceived as being a bit more challenging than say, in the tech industry. You know, I lose my iPhone every 2 years. So then the benefit of that is that I can actually jump onto the newest technology in a two-year cycle. Those cycles in manufacturing are 30-year or 20-year cycles. You don't throw away a million-dollar machine just like that. So that is a big part of the challenge. And here, I would actually say, you know, the purchasing departments of companies that have factories, they need to adjust their purchasing behavior to make sure that they buy stuff that adheres to standards.
Right.
Otherwise, it is a lost opportunity for the next 30 years. Every machine that doesn't adhere to the corporate standard is a lost opportunity.
Are we shifting into a world where they don't actually have to buy these machines, that they can get them on a, you know, product as a service kind of offering?
I think yes, that is going to become more and more an option that will be used. I do actually think that is going to be a mega trend because as long as there are people like myself, old, you know, with a cupboard full of CDs upstairs, you know, we want to own stuff. Okay, and as long as this generation leads management across the world, the concept of ownership is going to be important.
Yeah.
But if you wait for my sons to be the manager of a manufacturing company, they do not understand the concept of ownership. You know, they understand the concept of usage.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is going to be a mega shift in terms of who has a lot of CapEx and who has no CapEx whatsoever, who is financing, and also who takes responsibility. So paper use is nice, but what happens if that pay-per-use machine that you just have killed your employee? Whose problem is that? Who's responsible for that? Okay, whom do you sue? And that is a big part of why maybe some of the scenarios that you and I intellectually imagine don't actually get such blanket adoption in short term because of the liability question that are associated with this.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
Interesting. It's May 2020. We're in the middle of a pandemic, which is changing the face of manufacturing. And at the very outset, you talked about Industry 4.0 raising levels of automation in factories, typically. And with no vaccine in sight for probably 18 months, manufacturing facilities are going to have to maintain physical distancing between employees, which in some situations might lead to a reduction in productivity, where you traditionally had people closer together on lines, now having to be further apart. Cool. So I can see the idea of increased automation being quite appealing to manufacturers. So there are big upsides here for manufacturing organizations in terms of increased automation, meaning increased productivity potentially. So COVID-19 could be a forcing factor for Industry 4.0. The downside of that, of course, is reduced number of employees, which, okay, it means reduced payroll, but it also means for the employees themselves, less jobs. How do we kind of square that circle? Because, you know, increased automation on the one hand sounds great, but on the other hand, if you're the employee who's automated out, not so good.
I think what the current situation is reminding us of is how long supply chains have become and how encompassing. And suddenly, I think that enterprises discover dependencies that they didn't know they even had. I suspect that some enterprises are going to say, "Well, I need to shorten, reduce the number of dependencies." And that is a dependency on time. If the supply is very, very far away and he's not able to react. And it may lead to some more regional initiatives. Here in Germany, suddenly everybody believes that medicine needs to be made locally and not elsewhere. And if you are in a country, Japan, Korea, Germany, Italy, wherever, that actually has high cost of salary, then bringing back that manufacturing will, and still wanting to be able to compete on a global level, will require automation. Mm. And the automation will come from initially sometimes not having that person moving the boxes from left to right, but having a robot do that piece. I would argue that person probably isn't enjoying his job anyway. The other argument is that that person probably costs 60 euros an hour moving boxes from left to right, all full up, and the robot can actually do that for 20 maybe over his or her lifetime. So I think it is going to, automation is going to take away some of those manual, tedious jobs. And now you can argue, well, what happens to that person? Yes, I think there is, that may be an individual tragedy. I do think that on the other hand, that it is that we will have new jobs come up. Also, if you look at population development in Europe, in North America, in Japan, the predictions are pretty that the workforce is not going to be as big as we would like it to be. And here in Germany, maybe not at this very moment because of the crisis, but in general, there's a discussion, where are all these workers going to come from? And we don't know where are they going to come from. The predictions is tens of millions of people are going to retire, and you will not be able to replace them from within the population because of the population pyramid that is there. And therefore, automation is a good thing. Automation is desperately required to keep countries alive. Maybe it's not the people paying the tax, it's the machines paying the tax, but the gross domestic product is going to go up, and that's what we need. And for that, we will need automation in many countries. And yes, it will bring the work onshore back to closer to where consumption is, which again has a CO2 element associated with it as well. So you could argue that is a good thing as well. But yes, it will drive automation. It needs automation. I think it is going to be good for country, for Europe and America and some of these nations to have manufacturing closer to home.
We're coming towards the end of the podcast, Neil, now. Is there any question I haven't asked you that you wish I had? Any topics that we haven't covered that you feel we should have?
No, I think, Tom, you did well. I think the key summary is that the ecosystem is important. Neil's okay, I work for SAP and I'm saying that, but I think it is important for everybody else as well. It's not just that we are the odd one out. We need to partner. We need to work together. I think we need to drive the affordability of the solutions forever more so that customers can focus on the value. And we can only do that if we adhere to some ways of working. It's called standards, and that we embrace those standards within an ecosystem. I think then we are all going to have much more work to do, but our customers are going to see more value that way. And in Industry 4.0, Tom, honestly, nobody, doesn't matter who you are, how big, how small, you can't do it on your own. You need to partner.
Great. Niels, that's been fantastic. If anyone wants to know more about Industry 4.0 or SAP's Industry 4.now or about Niels, where would you have me direct them?
If they want to know more about SAP and Industry 4.now, I think I would actually direct them to SAP websites. There's a special website on Industry 4.now with the white paper that describes SAP's thinking. If they want to know more about Niels as the individual and contact me, I would suggest that they look on LinkedIn and that they find me over there and see who I am and what I've done. Also, if they want to know more about the Open Industry 4.0 Alliance, www.openindustry4.com is a good place to go to if you are curious about what that organization is doing.
Fantastic. I'll put those links in the description. Niels, that's been great. Thanks a million for coming on the show.
Okay. Tom, good seeing you again. Take care.
Okay. We've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.